check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Sonny Shipp. We just wrapped up with LSU Pro Day, and we wanted to go ahead and jump on and get our reactions out there. We've heard from all of the guys that went through Pro Day, for the most part, I would say, and we just wanted to come in and kind of share who really shined. And I think, Sonny, the right thing to do is to start with the trio of wideouts that really showed out at LSU. And I think we got to start with Ja'Marr Chase. He didn't have the most on the line because he's going to be a top 10 pick, I think, by all accounts, and especially after today. But in terms of being that first wide receiver off the board, he made himself look really good with a strong 40.438. He went 41-inch vert. He also had an 11-foot broad jump and didn't need to bench press after those 23 reps earlier this spring. So all in all, a great day for Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, Chase made his money off of what he put on the 2019 tape. But I think I agree with you. I think he submitted his that very high first round status that, you know, that everybody has him as. And and now it's just a case of of passing all the character tests. Not having any red flags when it comes to that. But outside of that, I mean, just at his size to move like he did is he basically just has everything. Now, he checked all those boxes. You know, he checked the boxes on film, and then he checked the boxes again today with his performance. And you just have to look at it and just say somebody's going to be getting them a very a very explosive receiver at the next level. And right now, Joe Burrow is just licking his chops, hoping that it's him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, watching some of the drills on SEC Network that they were showing too, I mean, just showed that balance. He had a nice toe tap on the sideline as well on a ball that was almost out of reach. So he showed everything he needed to. And I think, building off of his seasons to come out and have the times that he did, and, they are pro day, they were unofficial or whatever, but I mean, that was just what he needed to do. He needed to show how fast he was. He wasn't necessarily considered a burner by most, but he went out and had the same exact 40 as Terrace Marshall, who kind of was in a way considered a burner, a track guy coming out of high school, just like Racy McMath. And let's go to Terrace Marshall, another a key cog in that 2019 offense, and came back, needed to come back to school. And I think, again, with his showing, he's somebody that, stock up, I would say, for him, for the most part, being able to show that elite speed. And, he's got the size, and the vert was very good as well. I think he's going to be somebody that, I'm not sure he's going to end up in the first round. He's kind of got that first round buzz like Grant Delpit did, but maybe he's one of the first few guys off the board in the second round. That's just kind of how the NFL draft goes sometimes. But he had a huge day for himself.
Yeah, and it's tough to it's tough to tell. I do think that going into today, that like I said earlier, that Ja'Marr Chase made his money off of the 2019 film that he posted. But I think Terrace Marshall needed today to check those boxes that some people had, and I think with the speed, I think we knew that he had some breakaway speed once he got going. I mean, he really just, he put on some, he had some jets and he showed them today. Something else I was kind of surprised with was the 19 reps on the 225 pound bench. I thought that he might fall somewhere around that 15 range. And he looked pretty good repping those out. So, you know, it just shows that you go back with Justin Jefferson. It just shows you that 2019 wide receiver core, just how talented and how loaded that was, you know, that Joe Burrow had to work with.
Right. And the final piece was Racy McMath, who ran the fastest 40 out of all three of them today. And so I think that burner speed helped him in a sense, you know, maybe ease a little bit of concerns, but we knew how fast Racy was. And Ed Ogeron said that in the past that, you know, Racy McMath would be step for step with them. And it makes a lot of sense because he clocked that elite 40 of 4.34, I believe is what he put down. And the thing with Racy, though, is with how physically imposing he is, he's going to be able to make, I think, a good NFL career as a solid special teamer. I think Russell Gage, in a way, is kind of his comp, maybe not as, I would say, freakishly athletic as far as explosiveness and getting up, but that high-end speed, that physicality that he can bring. I mean, he was one of LSU's best special teamers during the course of his career. And I think that's going to be where he makes his mark. I don't know if he'll get drafted, but again, that high-end speed was on display today.
Yeah, and I think for Racy, I think it's just going to be, I think it's going to be tough for him to get over the you know, the lack of production. You know, 33 catches for a little bit over 500 yards. You know, over the course of his career, I still look back and I agree with you 100% on the measurables and that, you know, that I think he can make an NFL roster. But I think the big thing that I just can't get away from feeling like he just left a lot of money on the table by not coming back for another year. You know, I feel like if he would have come back for another year, if he could have posted 40 to 50 catches, you know, had some touchdowns, had some of those explosive plays on film to match the, you know, the combine and the pro day traits that we saw, I just feel like that would have elevated him up to where you could be potentially looking at a day two pick.
When I was watching the SEC Network broadcast and it was Roman Harper and Ryan Clark going back and forth, here's another guy that has a chance to make an NFL roster because of his speed. But when you look at Kerry Vincent now, he was so focused on being smooth in and out of his breaks that he kind of lost that speed in drills. But again, he was disappointed with his 40-yard dash. He was telling us on the Zoom that he felt like he should be in that high 4.2 range. And obviously he's a track guy and can certainly probably do that if he put his mind solely to that. But he needed to show that ability to break on the ball, be able to run at different angles and break out off of different angles. He had a good day today, but it was interesting watching two defensive backs that played in the league and certainly you know, on different sides of the LSU-Alabama rivalry for that matter, kind of agree on Kerry Vincent Jr., a versatile guy who has that high-end speed, but he's going to have to show that he can turn and run really well in coverage. And as he doesn't focus on track at the next level, that was kind of the big thing that stood out about Kerry Vincent coming away from today, because we all knew he was going to put down that impressive 40.
Yeah, and I think with Kerry Vincent, I think you kind of knew what you were going to get going into today. You know, for me, the biggest thing was him opting out of his of the 2020 season. Really just kind of left a, you know, left a lot of questions, left a lot of, you know, concerns about, okay, is this a track guy playing football? And I think today, I think we saw the track guy. You know, I think the NFL personnel, they look at him, they know what they're going to get. They know that they're going to get a lot of speed. And I think that they probably look at it now and, you know, going into drafting him, you've kind of look at it and you say, okay, this is what we're going to get, but what else are we going to get? And it's going to be interesting to see where he falls on the draft boards, where he comes in at. You know, is he able to make that leap up to a potential third round guy? Is he more of a, you know, a fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh rounder? Because you know, you can't teach that speed. you can teach the fundamentals, you can work on the technique, you can work on a lot of things, but you know, you're not going to get him any taller. You know, I don't think there's any question that that speed, and me personally, I mean, I thought when he went out there, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to run into 4.2s. You know, I figured that, you know, that he would show his speed. He would run into 4.3s. I think the, you know, I think one reason that he may look at it and think that, okay, he didn't run as fast as he could is because we didn't expect Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall to run under 4.4. And so I think that that probably, that that might play into it a little bit, at least with me. I think it definitely plays into me thinking, and oh, well, you know, maybe he didn't do as good as I thought he would have done today.
No, that makes a lot of sense to me. And you know, the thing about Carey is he's going to end up on a roster at some point. And I think he could be a draft pick. You know, I don't know too much about where exactly he's being slotted, but I think somebody that took advantage of the entire spotlight was Jacoby Stevens, because you had Jabril Cox, who's been dealing with an injury. He did not participate in any of the pro day activities, and we didn't get to talk to him afterwards for that matter either, so we didn't get too much info on that. But Jacoby Stevens comes out and jumps a 42 inch vert, runs a 4.5, looked good in drills, looked the part. I mean, he's clearly taken things seriously, and I mean, gosh, he just looked like somebody that was ready to go for this event, where he can probably put, I think, some doubters to ease the way he came on at the end of the year, and then getting his body ready for this event. I thought Jacoby Stevens was another winner from today.
Yeah, I thought Jacoby Stevens was a big winner. And, you know, I just want to know where was this guy at? Where was this 212, 216-pound safety that showed up at the Senior Bowl and measured in at 216 pounds? You know, where was this guy at the last 2 years on LSU's defense? Because on LSU's defense, you didn't see a guy that you thought was running, that was so close to cracking 4.4 range on the 40-yard dash. I definitely didn't think that I would see a 42-inch vertical from him. And showing up at 212 pounds, I mean, he looked great physically. You know, I wish he would have bench pressed. You know, I have a feeling that he didn't bench because, yeah, you know, it wasn't going to be the type of numbers that he would want on there. But, you know, where was this guy at in LSU scheme the last 2 years? Because it just, you know, we saw a linebacker being forced to play safety, whereas today we actually saw him post, safety numbers.
Right. And I think sometimes that, you know, in the last year especially, that was just kind of the issue with, you know, the scheme and certainly, you know, how they were going to fit him in that defense. And as the safety position kind of got a little thinner, and I think he was just being played out of position. I mean, he should be a box guy. I think that's for the most part where he's going to have the most success. But, you know, he wanted to trim down and show that he could, you know, be a safety. And, you know, we'll see where NFL teams end up putting him. But for the most part, I felt like Jacoby Stevens helped himself a lot. Jabril Cox has some questions, you know, I think still left to answer for NFL teams because he didn't work out. And I think to an extent, you know, Tyler Shelvin certainly has some questions to answer. You know, 350 pounds. I wasn't surprised that was where he was at. And I think NFL teams, when you look at Tyler Shelvin, that's where he's going to, like, that's kind of what they expect him to be. I just think that once you get him into an NFL program, they're going to find the way to work him down, maybe, you know, to 340, but he's just a big guy, but he's so strong. You're just getting a plug in the middle for situations, which I don't know who's going to be the right fit for him at the NFL level. But, you know, I thought Tyler Shelvin being at 350 honestly wasn't as bad as I thought it was, or some people thought it was.
I don't think there's any excuse in the world that he has for not coming in lighter, because, I mean, let's face it, since mid-August, you know, mid-August to September, he's been working out strictly for this day and for the combine alone. That's all he's been training for. And so, you know, to me, there is no reason in the world that he should not have come in at the best weight that he has been at since, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade. I mean, you know, we know that he was north 390 when he got to LSU. During the 2019 season, when he really emerged and solidified himself as a, you know, as an NFL prospect, you know, he probably, they had him listed at 346. He probably played in that 350 to 355 range. I know Ed Orgeron said last year that Shelvin needed to lose some weight before, you know, before the season started. And this was right before he opted out. He, you know, sources told us that he was around that 360 pound range, which probably means he's closer to 365 to 370. So he may have lost a little bit of weight over that time. If he would have come in, 330, 335 pounds, even 340, you know, if he could have had a four behind that three instead of the five, I think NFL clubs would have felt that, okay, you know, this guy really took it serious. He really can't, you know, he really busted his butt during the, you know, during the off season, during his time off. But, you know, coming in at 350 was a little bit disappointing for me.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's heavy, no doubt, in today's game. You know, that's not probably going to spell, you know, I think a long NFL career. The good thing is as he gets older, you know, maybe that he gets some better just habits. And as you grow older, obviously don't maybe have the need to eat as much or whatever. But, you know, I personally think that 350, that was something where teams can say, okay, he didn't come in at like 370. And when you didn't have the season to maybe, you know, be running around in that Louisiana heat for a little bit longer than you normally are, because, you know, he was up in Dallas working, and it's hot up in Dallas, but it's not hot that like it is down in Louisiana for a good bit of the season. And, you know, I think that, you know, Tyler Shelvin is just going to find a way to get a shot, which I think if you get him into the right system as a practice squad guy, they're going to be able to work him out. And once he's back practicing with a team, you know, maybe that helps him, because he can run all he wants and, you know, probably get the diet right. But there's something different about being in a practice and, you know, potentially playing games and things like that, that might help him a little bit more, because otherwise his body just would have been broken down trying to lose all that weight that much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I guess my reasoning for it kind of, look, I respect the, you know, the feelings that he had on COVID and not feeling comfortable to play. You know, I respect those feelings. I mean, that's, every person has their, you know, their own right to handle that, you know, unorthodox situation the way that they see fit. I just think that, you know, for him to say, okay, you know, I've shown the NFL enough in his 21 games. He only played 21 games at LSU, 6 as a redshirt freshman, 15 as a redshirt sophomore in 2019, none in 2020. So I think for him to feel like, okay, you know, I've done enough. I've shown you enough to, you know, to warrant, like Todd McShay had him as a, I think it was number 23 or number 26 in his top 32 that he put out in August. You know, for some of the talk of that, well, you know, Shelvin could be a day one, you know, he could play himself into a day one, a day two pick. I think now when you look at Shelvin by missing all of 2020, by coming in not really much different than he was when he went out, I think now you look at him and now you say, okay, this is a last day pick right here. And it's probably closer to maybe that sixth or seventh round as opposed to the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't show enough, you know, or have a complete, you know, LSU career, I think, you know, for the NFL. But, you know, I thought that, you know, for the pro day, the weight wasn't bad, but yeah, I mean, he could have very well come back and had another season at LSU. And look, we'll have another round of NFL draft prospects to talk about next year and more NFL draft coverage overall, as these guys, you know, come down the stretch now, just about 2 months until they're picked or not picked or their NFL careers begin, however that is. We'll be covering it for you guys at go247.com. We'll continue to talk about it on the Go247 podcast, and you can leave us a rating, leave us a review wherever you get your podcast from, and feel free to hit that follow button for us on the podcast as well, so you can get it delivered right to you. But till next time, guys, for Sunny Ship, I'm Billy Embody. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.